Hi, this is James Devine, and I am an educator who has come out of the trenches. Listen in as my friend and colleague Dana Goodyear shares stories and tips from other educators who have come out of the trenches.
Welcome to the Out of the Trenches podcast. This is Dana Goodyear. Thanks for listening.
The Out of the Trenches podcast has now been on the air for one full year. Thank you so much for your dedication, for sharing, and letting your colleagues and friends know about this podcast. Now let's get to the episode.
Thank you.
My next guest is Etienne Langlois. He is an award-winning teacher, rock star, and author of the number one best-selling book, Rock Your Class. When he's not performing for millions of fans in packed theaters and arenas worldwide or teaching in packed classrooms back home, he's busy helping K-12 teachers rock their classes with expert engagement strategies. Etienne has spent the better part of three decades teaching K-12 in many subject areas while taking on various teacher leadership roles as department head, instructional PD coach, mentor, and district program coordinator. Winner of multiple Educational Lifetime Achievement Awards and Canada's Artist of the Year honors, he has also worked as an author and consultant for leading educational publishing companies in Canada, the US, and Europe, developing effective curriculum content. He is located in Windsor, Ontario, Canada. Welcome to the podcast, Etienne.
Thank you, Dana. Appreciate it. I'm excited.
Well, it's an honor having you on. And when we first connected, I mentioned how, you know, I used your music and my French classes already back in the early 2000s. And researching you a little bit more, I found out you'd been working as a musician for quite a while before I even started teaching. And, you know, I dove into your documentary and learned a lot more about those 25 years that you've been active as a musician, sure, as well as teaching full time in the classroom. So it's pretty impressive. Right. So we'll talk about that in a little bit. But first of all, just tell me about a time when you were in the trenches and managed to crawl out.
Absolutely. You know what? That was the beginning of my career. And that's, I'm sure that could be similar for a lot of teachers and their stories. But let me share you mine. Mine was quite interesting. So my real first year teaching full time, I was sent to a school in Stratford, Ontario. And I found out later that my resume that they called me from was actually over a year old and was found at the bottom of a box. They were having a very hard time finding a teacher to teach French at this school. And when I got there, I kind of found out why. It was it was like a middle school. So it was a grade 7 and 8 feeder schools, what they're called in Ontario and Ontario, Canada. And so it was a school that you could say, quote unquote, was on the wrong side of the tracks. Mm-hmm. Great kids, but definitely difficult to teach. And when I went in there, into the classroom, I showed my classroom. The corrugated paper had been all torn off the wall and there was swear words on the wall. And in fact, the teacher that I was replacing who had taught the year prior, that teacher had quit, mm-hmm, after teaching in their first year, mm-hmm, and went to just work in a restaurant and was very happy with that decision. and the teacher that they were replacing actually was murdered, not in school, but in town. And so just a really, really rough area. And so it was trial by fire for me, mm-hmm, as a brand new teacher, you know, what to do to engage these students, to get them excited about French, which wasn't always their favorite subject, mm-hmm, prior. And it was right from the get-go, how to combine engaging the students, maintaining classroom management, mm-hmm, juggling all that together. And from that, so I think it was sort of a gift of God, because, mm-hmm, it's from that I started to use music to motivate, mm-hmm, the students and to get my lessons across. And they responded so very well that they in turn looked actually forward to coming to class, whereas before they perhaps did not. So,
mm-hmm. And I think a lot of us have that experience our first year of teaching, right? And, you know, especially if we're thrown into an environment that we didn't experience during our student teaching, or, you know, we didn't grow up in a school that was like that. And, you know, having, you know, been a French teacher also, like, it's that elective, and I know in Canada, it's more of a mandatory subject because it's the second official language of the country. But, you know, in the US, it's an elective. And, you know, a lot of kids are just like, oh, well, I wanted to be in Spanish, but they didn't have room. So they'll take French, you know, and just using music, right, to motivate the kids, using anything that will, you know, get them moving and, you know, remember songs. But let's talk a little bit about in your documentary, which is on your website. It's accessible on your website. It was from last year.
Sure.
You talked a little bit about your passion for French being reignited, that you were born in a Francophone area of Ontario. And I'm really interested in finding about the pockets, because I, you know, I lived in Quebec for a while, the early 2000s, and, you know, there's pockets of Francophone speakers in Ontario, but then you grew up in an Anglophone area in Windsor, and you had a French teacher in school for 5 years that really helped reignite your passion for French. Mm-hmm. So tell me a little bit about that.
Yeah, Madame St. Pierre is her name. She is, or was, a fantastic French teacher. She's continues to be a fantastic person. I mean, I grew up, I'm Métis. So that means that I'm a mix between, I have an indigenous blood and I am French as well. And our family spoke French, although in our home, we grew up speaking English. Mm-hmm. But on the weekends, when I would hang out at my mémé's house, my grandmother's house, I would speak French with her. Mm-hmm. And I did begin school in a strictly French, with French education, but we moved a lot. And when we moved, I did have to go into an English school system. So I was learning French then as a second language. And that's when I met Madame St. Pierre in around grade four. And so from grade four to grade five, she was my French teacher. And she literally absolutely nurtured my passion for my native language, basically where my family has been speaking for 13 generations. And she just, everything when it came to culture, just, it didn't matter what it was. And in fact, she was so encouraging. When I graduated from grade eight and went to high school, she was encouraging me to actually, and my parents, to have me go to back into the Francophone French system, because she thought that would be best for me. I decided to stay in the English system with my friends because that's what teenagers do. But yeah, that's, she is such a huge influence on me. So I give her a lot of credit. You know, when anybody says, you know, I love your music or whatever. And I'm very open about talking about her influence in my life.
Yeah. And that's how a lot of us educators become educators, because you have that teacher during our upbringing that really, you know, inspire us. And, you know, for you, it was that teacher that helped you reignite your passion for French. And I think looking back to my high school experience, you know, I studied both French and German, and, you know, those teachers are the ones that, you know, stand out to me, like, you know, just some of the things we did in the class this many years later, right? It just, you know, how, I would goof off with kids. And I hung out with a bunch of exchange students, right? And, you know, I knew already, I'd already learned Norwegian, so it was easy to learn German. And, you know, we kind of had that like mixture of kids with exchange student background and all that. So
nice.
It was, you know, fun, just kind of experience, you know, the languages, and, you know, becoming an educator. I went back after I'd finished my master's degree and talked to those teachers and just say, hey, now I'm a French and German teacher myself. So I think they were pretty happy to hear that.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Actually, when you mentioned the documentary, I thought it was really cool that the team that did the documentary, they were able to find Madame St. Pierre, and she actually was a part of the documentary, being one of the many people who were interviewed. So I thought that was really cool. That was special to me.
So you had been playing music already in high school, and they have some old clips from that in your documentary, you guys kind of drumming along and singing some old tunes. But then, you know, you got your teaching degree, and then you said you had this first year teaching where you discovered that music would help motivate the kids. So when kind of along in your teaching journey did you start releasing music?
Okay. So actually, the first couple songs that I wrote were in teacher's college, actually. Funny story, but that was just, I would There was one time I had a assignment that was due the next day and I forgot I had an assignment. And so I put a little rap together and then that's what I handed in. And the professor loved it and had me perform to the class. And I was like, okay, well, that's my go-to. If ever I'm stuck, I'll write it. And I did end up writing another song later in the year. Mm-hmm. What happened though was when I went out to start teaching and I knew I wanted to use music, I realized that there wasn't any music that reached preteens and teens, especially. Mm-hmm. There wasn't a lot of rock and rap and popular styles of music. So I started to write some of my own, and the what happened were other people started to get a hold of it really quickly. There was a story of how I became Etienne, how I got the name Etienne. I was actually covering a maternity leave before that first full year of teaching. Mm-hmm. And the maternity leave was to be up soon. And so I asked the consultant at the school district if I could address the French teachers of the district to talk to them, because back in those days, in early 1990s, it was the teachers, if you were going to be sick, you had to find a supply or a substitute teacher yourself. The school district didn't help you. So I wanted to let them know that I could be a perfect substitute for them, because I definitely know what I'm doing. Mm-hmm. So I shared a couple songs. And what happened was everybody got excited. Everybody goes, wow, those songs are great. Can we have some? And then the consultant goes, wow, we have a rock star here. It's Etienne. And she just took my name, Stephen, my English name, Stephen, and she just translated it to French and just said, it's Etienne. And that's how it started. So word of mouth, and now it's all over the world. So
Etienne was born from kind of just promoting yourself and wanting that long-term sub position.
I just wanted to eat. As I've told people, like I just wanted to eat. And I don't know if it's irony, but I never did get a phone call. I never got one phone call, but everybody wanted the music. So that was kind of cool.
And, if people watch your documentary, they can see just the impact that you've had for many years and tours that you've, you've even traveled to New Zealand and Australia giving tours, and the auditoriums are packed with kids that are just chanting along to your music. But it's not only French. So you talk a little bit about expanding your horizons into Spanish. And what I thought was interesting in the documentary is that there was already a Spanish speaker lined up, but that person backed out last minute. And so you ended up having to kind of work on Spanish pronunciation because you didn't speak Spanish at the time and then record the Spanish.
That's right. I know. I tell me, canto español, no hablo español. That was the issue. So I never wanted to. I understood that the Spanish teachers loved the concept of the music I was doing as Etienne, because it was really in your face music that the kids love, but it helped students learn languages. So they wanted the Spanish version. And so I was like, great. So we did, we found a young 20 something guy, but he took off. We literally took off. I have no idea where he went. So we had the studio booked, we had everything all ready. And that's when everybody said, well, Steve, you should do it. Kidding me. But fortunately there was enough Spanish people around to help me with pronunciation. And so I did the first album, and then the second album I actually pretty much did on my own, because by then I was getting it down really well. But that was a pretty neat experience. And then I started doing Spanish concerts. I mean, who would have dreamed? I never would have thought. So
yeah, and knowing French fluently, it's pretty easy to pick up Spanish, and I've used it for educational purposes myself. I mean, it's broken and it kind of pieced together words, and it's kind of Fran-span, right? But it works. And you're also now providing resources in math as well. So talk a little bit about that.
Yeah. So when the book Rock Your Class came out and it was really well received, people were looking into more of what I've done in the past and what I continue to do with French and Spanish. And so math teachers are going, could you make math raps for us? And I said, yeah, that would be a fun challenge, because I've taught math before. Mm-hmm. And I thought that's a cool idea. When I dive into something, I dive fully into it. So I spent 5 months and I made over 200 math raps. And now there's an entire math program, which is actually completely free right now in preview. If you go to rockyourclass.com/maths with an S, and there's videos, math minutes, there's activities, there's physical things for the students to do, there's the raps for them to enjoy, there's still so much. So yeah, absolutely, because music can touch really students at in any subject area.
Yeah. And just, you know, knowing the wraps to the equations or, you know, whatever they're learning in math helps those kids just retain. It's like that retention of the conjugations in French and Spanish, the same way for math. And, you know, it's, I think, you know, you have, you're kind of that both left and right side brain person. Cause I always tell kids if they ask help for help in math, it's like, no, I'm a language person. So right. It's impressive that you have that like ability to do the math as well. And you've taught math. So.
I became an even more of a big math geek as I started this project and, mm-hmm. and got and all into the project. It was fascinating because I realize that math is not everybody's favorite subject as well. Mm-hmm. So to have an opportunity to create the videos and the wraps that hopefully will encourage them. The whole goal of the program is to basically have students explore the why of math before mm-hmm. they apply the math. Mm-hmm. And if they feel comfortable in understanding what they're doing, then they're going to do it much better. And so that's it. That's what we do.
Mm-hmm. Tell me a little bit about what you've been doing and just kind of virtual concerts and such mm-hmm. during the pandemic and any plans that you have for maybe the 21-22 school year about going into live concerts again.
Yeah. So when COVID hit, we were actually our French band, New NOUS, we were in the middle of a US tour mm-hmm. and unfortunately got cut right in half. So we had to go home and we were hoping to get back on tour, but that never happened. And then mm-hmm. people started asking, well, can you do some virtual concerts then? And fortunately, I had done them in the past 4 or 5 years ago. I had done a few when I just wasn't able to reach everybody, you know, that was wanting concerts. So we put together this really cool show, and it's a concert interview mm-hmm. Rather than just a concert. So students get to practice their French by interviewing me, Etienne, and then I perform the top 5 songs that they vote on. So we have this big voting thing with hundreds of votes, and it's really, really cool. And so they keep sending in their votes to get their top songs to the top. And then I perform like a countdown. So they're interviewing me. Then we interrupt with little commercial breaks, which are me performing the songs. And I go from 5 to song number 1. And then they can sing along with me at home or in school, if permitted. And it's been a lot of fun. And we've continued to do that. I mean, I'm doing them with schools from all over the world, which is mm-hmm. great. So it's like nothing's changed. Mm-hmm. And but what's better is that I get to actually meet the students. I get to talk to the students because mm-hmm. my life is pretty Hannah Montana crazy, where I will fly out to mm-hmm. say Alaska. I'll take a red eye to Alaska, and I'll go to the airport, then to the hotel, then to the theater. I'll do two solo shows, and then I'm flying the red eye back home the next day, and uh-huh. I'm back in the classroom. I never really get to really talk with the kids too much. So I've been really enjoying this. And also last spring, and we restarted it again about 2 months ago, I am now doing live Kahoots on the School Rubric Network. And we are doing Kahoots in French, math, English, and Spanish. And we'll have like over 1,000 students from all over the world, like battling it out in these live Kahoot mm-hmm. games. And I get to be the host. It's a lot of fun. Uh-huh. So yeah, we're doing a lot.
Yeah. Actually. And I think when I went back to your website yesterday, it was one of the first things I saw that was that just a recorded Kahoot mm-hmm. of a session that you'd had earlier in the week. So that's pretty easy to find if one goes to your website.
And yeah. Every Thursday at 2:30 PM Eastern Standard Time. Okay. And every week it's a new topic, and schools, like I said, from all over the world, battle it out, and it's for prizes. Okay. So every student that finishes a game, they get the equal an entry for their school. So for the prize packs, it's really cool.
Yeah. Yeah. And I've always used Kahoots ever since they were around. And I find it, you know, a really fun interactive way of, you know, informally assessing kids' knowledge. So, and it also on the documentary, they have clips of you, and you might have started giving professional development sessions pretty early in your career, because you look pretty young in some of those videos, but they, so you're not only performing for kids, but you're also, you know, having sessions for teachers. So what are these sessions mostly focusing on? Is it just student engagement, or is it, how to use your, songs? What are kind of some of your themes?
Basically, what I do is I give PD that comes basically out of my book, which is mm-hmm. Rock Your Class. And it's divided into three groups. So one a section, sorry, one's like student engagement. Okay. One is Rock Your Classroom Management. And the other one's Rock Your Teacher Toolbox. So it's all about fresh, engaging ideas. Mm-hmm. And what I generally do is I take my, I've been doing this for spans of four decades now. So all my experiences of touring all over the world, but also teaching K to 12 in classrooms everywhere. I take really cool stories from the road and from the classroom, and I share those with teachers. And then I parlay that into really engaging out of the box type lessons.
Okay.
And in the book, you can actually swipe a QR code and the lesson plan actually falls up on right onto your lap, which is really neat. But live in the PD, yeah, what I do is I just basically hammer home the fact that since the beginning of my career, I've been labeled as a teacher rock star. Like that's mm-hmm. my, like I said, the two dual life that I live, right? But my philosophy is that we're all teacher rock stars, every mm-hmm. last one of us, okay? And so I talk about those parallels, you know, where the students are the fans, your classroom is the theater, basically, in the front of the room can be the stage. But the point is not for us to be performers. The point is for us to engage the students into the highest level where they can be the best student rock stars that they mm-hmm. can be. That's the entire point. So that's what I do in my keynotes and my sessions, is try to motivate teachers to realize how cool and a privilege it is, and for us to share our passion and to give a lot of tools to do that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we're looking forward to seeing you back in person at conferences. And we talked a little mm-hmm. bit about, you know, hopefully we can bring you to Colorado for the language teacher conference next year in person. We're currently doing our live conference this month. But, you know, I think that would be a great opportunity to see you and have you perform. So
I would love that. Yeah, no, absolutely. It's funny you should say perform, because that when I'm going to go to a conference, I like to do it all. I'll perform at the lunch and let's get everybody up singing and dancing and moving around or whatever. And then in my keynotes or sessions, then I get a little bit more serious, but still fun. And we talk about student engagement. So
yeah. And what I thought was interesting also in your documentary is that you have family involved in your concerts. So who is Nate Vedette?
Yeah. So in our band New, particularly earlier on when some of the guys would be touring with me, mm-hmm. Our son, who's now 21 years old, he is a phenomenal musician. I never tell people I'm a musician. I tell people I'm an entertainer, because that's what I'm good at, is making a lot of noise and getting people up and dancing and having fun. But our son is actually an amazing musician, does composition pieces for video mm-hmm. games, for films. And he's a really good guitarist and a bass guitarist. And he joins me on stage, and he's actually the bass guitarist and primary writer and songwriter for our band New. So, it's really, really cool to have him on stage with me when I'm performing. He's grown up with ATM, because whenever mm-hmm. I would tour all over Australia or New Zealand or all the States or Canada, wherever we were in the world, China, it doesn't matter. He would always often be there. So mm-hmm. he's grown up seeing it. And so he's just a natural, and the fans love him. Like when our band tours, they could care less about Etienne, the lead singer guy. They love the bass guitarist, Nate. They love him. Uh-huh. So that's kind of a cool experience to see.
And also your daughter's been doing a lot of the videography.
She does. She's such an artist. Well, it's interesting. You talked about right and left brain. Mm-hmm. She is in engineering right now. So mm-hmm. she's doing engineering in Ontario at Western University. And so she definitely has a science math thing. She's just... Mm-hmm. brilliant in that end, but she also is an incredibly talented artist. So I will lean on her when we have artistic needs and things like that. And she helps out too sometimes with videography and just little things. Like a lot of little things she helps out whenever she can, which is really cool.
Mm-hmm. And so when I was teaching French, I used a lot of the Etienne material, and I didn't know that there is also another alter ego. So tell me a little bit about DJ Delphs.
Okay, so this whole DJ Delph thing is quite interesting, because in 2014, around 2014 in Ontario, our French curriculum was changing. That was mandated from our government. And it was changed completely from what it was before, which was a vocabulary and grammar focus to now a live French, learn French focus. So just an everyday, learn how to speak it, learn how to live it, cook, look for jobs, look for apartments, all stuff like that. Well, fortunately, that is always how I've taught. And so I was excited, but my colleagues were a little nervous about how do we change how we do this. So they said, can you share with us all your stuff? And I said, actually, I have a red box filled with all my lesson plans and units and stuff that I do. So I spent about a year and I recreated into an actual French program where ATN stuff is more to help you along your way and build foundation with grammar and vocab. I actually built an entire program. And as I made the songs for it, I realized they just weren't ATN songs, they're completely different. So I came up with a different stage name called DJ Delf because they're more DJ based songs. They're like stories. And what I did not expect was that DJ Delf became more popular than ATN. And it was the weirdest phenomenon. In fact, the proof in the pudding was I used to do for a couple of years, I toured. And I would do ATN shows with DJ Delf. And so I would do 3/4 of the concert would be ATN songs. Then I would go off and I would change and I would come back out as DJ Delf. And ATN runs all over the arenas and theaters. And I'll run to the third balcony and I get the microphone. I get people singing, dancing. DJ is a DJ. So DJ Delf just stands behind a table. And the students were going crazier for him. And he's not even doing anything than they were for ATN. So I was very jealous, even though I was the same person. But it was just really, really an experience. So now I've come to completely accept that DJ Delf is a is a fan favorite type thing. So, yeah.
And what I noticed is that Etienne's music is more rock-based and DJ Delf is more kind of electronica.
That's absolutely true. Yeah. Absolutely. Yep. Yep.
So what are some of the most rewarding things that you have gained from seeing kids get fired up about French, Spanish, or math through your songs?
It's the most humbling experience, to be honest with you, to stand in front of 5,000 students who are like screaming your songs. And I think it's the comments to that. There's so many things, actually, Dana. There's so many things. There's the comments you see on YouTube, for example. Like if you see on the different YouTube videos that are out there, every day there's students adding things, and they're from Greece or they're from Ireland or they're from wherever. That is just mind blowing because remember, this all started at a French teacher meeting where I just wanted to be a supply teacher. That's all I wanted. I didn't. I had no intention of having anybody listen to my songs. So I think that's incredible, and the stories from the teachers themselves as well. Some really neat stories that you'll hear from teachers that use the music in the classroom, and I always thank them and I say thanks for letting me be part of your teacher toolbox or letting me team teach with you. I feel like I'm team teaching. With thousands of teachers from all over the world. I think that's so, so cool. So
yeah.
I don't know, the whole experience.
And, you know, and that was something, you know, I taught mostly level one and two, and that was something, you know, I would have the lyrics that would fill in the blank on the overhead projector, right? Because that's what we have at one of the schools I taught at. And, you know, just using a lot of, you know, when you're doing the past tense or the imparfait or, you know, just different, things that led to using your materials. And that's, yeah, you're right, because your resources help the teacher. So you're kind of there, you know, you're playing the songs and, you know, you're kind of there with the teacher in the classroom. I also wanted to ask about some words of wisdom for young professionals who would like to use music more to teach, that are teaching whatever subject, but they're also musicians.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that the reason that the music of ATN and DJ Delf and New and all that has been successful is just because I've been following my passion. So I basically just go on gut feeling. So I really just so desperately encourage every teacher to share whatever their passion is. If your passion is knitting, then please go get a bunch of extra wool and start knitting things that can somehow be related to your curriculum and teach the students to knit. Okay. If it's playing ukulele, or if you like magic tricks, then bring your magic tricks into the classroom and do that. If you have a passion for poetry, share some poetry that's related to, you have no idea how many students you're going to spark and how, by bringing all these new perspectives. Mm-hmm. And the reason it'll be effective is because it's genuinely coming from you and it's not forced. Mm-hmm. So that's probably my biggest words of wisdom, is bring whatever it is that you bring to the table in life and bring it into the classroom. Just be real.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think that's the most important thing you can remember as a teacher, be yourself, right? Don't try to be the teacher next door. Don't try to be, your mentor teacher you had when you were a student teacher, or, you know, the teacher you were 10 years ago, right? Because people change over time. Just be yourself. Right. Out of everything we talked about today on the podcast, what's one thing you'd like listeners to remember?
Well, it's easy to say, it's the last thing that we said, to be themselves, mm-hmm. because we all are teacher rock stars. Like when people come to me and they say, oh, that's so cool that you've done, you know, X, Y, or Z in your life, or you continue to do this, mm-hmm. or whatever. Mm-hmm. And I just say, I am literally simply just following my passion. I'm not even thinking, I'm not even planning. I'm just going, oh, you need me to do a show here. Okay. You need me for a keynote there. Great. I can mm-hmm. do it. Let's do this. So that is my absolute thing. And nurture the student rock stars that are in your class. That's what you're there for, because we only have them for a certain amount of time in the school year. And then we get thrown curveballs like this year with COVID, mm-hmm, where mm-hmm. sometimes we're teaching virtual or hybrid or whatever the situation is. So you just have to keep going. Yeah, keep going.
Yeah, great. Where can people find you online, access some of your materials, and or download your albums, and also let me know some of your social handles?
Yeah, sure. So we're actually consolidating everything to make life simpler. Mm-hmm. It's not like simpler for all of us. So going to rockyourclass.com, really easy. So there you can learn about the book, the concerts, the cahoots, the PD. Now all of the resources that I've done over 28 years now is now all available in these platforms where you can drop and drag mm-hmm. The resources, like the songs and the activities and the units. So that's also, you can see that right off of rockyourclass.com. Mm-hmm. And social handles, whether it's TikTok or Twitter or Instagram, it's just at rockyourclass. And definitely I would welcome your audience to reach out. And I love talking to teachers. It's my favorite thing to do. So you could just reach out to me and drop a message and I will absolutely respond. Believe me, I will definitely respond. People think that, you know, my favorite thing must be performing in front of like thousands in arenas and theaters and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And of course that's amazing. But I love the conferences. I love being with us, because only we know, you know, what mm-hmm. it's like. And I get so many ideas and inspiration from other teachers. So reach out, let's talk.
Well, it was so great having you on the podcast today, and I'm so glad I was able to connect with you, and, you know, been a longtime fan. So I wish you a great rest of your day, and thanks so much.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Thank you.